Welcome to Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Next week, Congress will vote on President Obama's plan to launch limited airstrikes against Syria in response to the Syrian government's use of chemical weapons. Secretary of State John Kerry is urging Congress to support the measure. He says the airstrikes will not lead to further military action by the United States, and he argues that this country needs to take a firm stand against the use of chemical weapons.
We don't want to go to war in Syria either. It's not what we're here to ask. The president is not asking you to go to war. He's not asking you to declare war. He's not asking you to send one American troop to war. He's simply saying we need to take an action that can degrade the capacity of a man who's been willing to kill his own people by breaking a nearly 100-year-old prohibition. And will we stand up and be counted to say we won't do that?
What are the consequences of using military force? And what are the consequences of not taking this action? These are some of the questions we have today for Congressman Peter Welch, who joins us from our studio in Norwich. Congressman, welcome to the program, and thank you for giving our listeners an opportunity to express their thoughts on this important issue.
Well, thank you very much, and I definitely look forward to hearing from Vermonters and their views on this.
And our listeners can join the conversation. Give us a call at 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. You can always send us an email at vermontedition@vpr.net. What are your thoughts about the president's plan? Is it a necessary action to deter the future use of chemical weapons? Or is this not the job of the United States, and will the limited airstrikes entangle this country into a civil war in Syria? We know there are a lot of people who would like to comment on this issue today, and we'd appreciate it if you could keep your comments as brief as possible. 1-800-639-2211. So, Congressman, next week, there's going to be a vote in both, at least it'll start in the Senate, and if the Senate passes it, it will go over to the House. The president's resolution giving the president limited authority to launch airstrikes against Syria. You've been to numerous briefings on this issue. As far as you're concerned, has President Obama made the case for limited military action against Syria?
Not yet. I think there's a lot of skepticism among Vermonters, among the American people, and among members of Congress. But what he's proposing, I mean, there's two issues here. And this is what I think makes this such a wrenching issue when you get into it. One is, do we want to get involved in the Syrian civil war? And the answer to that, unequivocally, is no. It's chaos. It's anarchy. If we get involved, there's no way we can micromanage it to an outcome. And Vermonters were really upset about the Iraq war. We went to that unnecessarily and on false pretenses. The nation building in Afghanistan has been a failure. And there's a lot of Vermonters who see Syria as round three and rightly are very skeptical. But there's a second issue here that is really quite distinct and very important on its own terms, and that is the Assad regime on August 21st used poison gas to kill innocent women and children, non-combatants. And that is in violation of a norm that has been adopted internationally, as the president points out, by 98% of our countries. And Vermonters are against war. They're against stupid wars, unjust wars. But I think Vermonters are for rules of war that have been adopted by the international community when it comes to, say, the Geneva Convention and how prisoners should be treated, and certainly poison gas. So the question the president is asking is for permission to take what he's calling a limited and proportional strike for the purpose of deterring Assad from using chemical weapons again and from sending and to send a message to others who might want to do it. And let me just add, a lot of my skepticism is that once you go into military action, whatever your intentions were to have this be limited, to have it be for the purpose of sending a deterrent message, there is the law of unintended consequences. And we've seen how once the dogs of war are unleashed, all kinds of things get out of control, even out of the president of the United States' control. So that's one issue. But the other is there are consequences of doing nothing. If we allow a dictator, Mr. Assad, to gas his people, what kind of message does that send to him in the future? So that's really what I think a lot of people and a lot of members of Congress are wrestling with.
So how do you balance those two concerns that you just mentioned? In one case, you would probably end up supporting the military action. In the other case, you would oppose it. So in the end, which one wins out?
Well, here's the judgment that that I think each member of Congress is going to have to make. I do believe that if there was an action one could take to deter the use of chemical weapons, there's a legitimate moral argument to do that. But the fact that there may be a case you could make to do it, you still have to ask the question whether the means by which you do it, the circumstances under which it's done, will actually make the situation worse rather than better. And that's what's so difficult here, and where I will be going back to Washington and participating in more briefings while I'm back there, and also be listening to the president on Tuesday night. And the questions that I need to have answered are, all right, we have this strike. How do we make it limited? How do we deal with potential collateral damage? What next if, in fact, after the attack is launched, Assad does it again? What are the implications for stability in the region? What countries are with us? I mean, one of the dilemmas that America has right now is this is pretty much an operation that we'd have to do on our own. And ideally, you'd go through the UN and you'd have international support in the validation of the UN body. So all of these are factors that, in my view, have to be aggressively considered before I'd be willing to support this action.
So would it be fair to say that if the vote was being taken today, you would vote no?
Well, my skepticism, I think, is indicating where I come from. And I think that the law of unintended consequences really means that America could be drawn into something unintentionally. Its goal would be to do something about the chemical weapons, but the outcome could easily be getting drawn into a brutal civil war. But this is the period of due diligence. If you remember, after August 21, the president indicated he was going to order a strike. The number of us, and I was one of the leading Democrats on a letter to the president, requested that he come to Congress. And he said yes. I was surprised and quite pleased that he agreed to come to Congress for permission. So now the administration is making its case and will be back in Congress. And I have a duty of due diligence to the people I represent to listen to what that case is, to report back to Vermonters as best I can on what's being presented to us with the pros and cons and the trade-offs, and then to make a decision. And this is going to be a decision that has to be on the basis of your own moral conviction of what the right thing to do is for Vermonters and for this country.
Congressman, just today, two Senate Democrats, Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota, introduced an alternative resolution. It would postpone the airstrikes for 45 days if President Assad agrees to sign a chemical weapons ban. Is that a good approach?
Well, if Assad would agree to sign a ban, that would be a great approach. I mean, if he stopped using chemical weapons, then the president's goal would be achieved, and there would be no military strike. Whether that's doable, whether Assad will cooperate, that obviously I'm a skeptic that he would. But Assad could deal with this whole situation by just joining the rest of the world community and pledge not to use poison gas. And it's really incredibly appalling that he would use this. I mean, this gas is just completely and utterly indiscriminate. And wars are brutal, but we do have in the international community some standards that countries have agreed to that should apply even in the awful conduct of war. And that's how we treat our prisoners and the prohibition on use of chemical weapons.
So what do you say to those listeners who think, hey, it's a little bit late for a ban on the use of chemical weapons since they've already been used?
Well, they're right. I mean, a lot of people make, I think, the very common sense argument that, look, dead is dead. If you're in Syria, and by the way, Bob, I think you know, I was in the Syrian border at a Syrian refugee camp on the Turkey-Syrian border. And I'll tell you, it's heartbreaking to see what has happened to so many families in Syria. About 4 million people have been displaced. I was with women and children in this camp that was run by Turkey, and they had no idea where their sons were, where their husbands were. and when and whether they'd return. And they were all fighting in Syria. But also, as bad as Assad is, there's a lot of bad actors on the rebel side. We just saw in the New York Times a picture of Syrian rebels literally executing Syrian soldiers who were bound with their hands behind their back and shot in the back of their head. I mean, so this Syrian civil war is not something that we could easily wade into and stop.
Let's go to our callers and start off today with Linda in Enosburg. Hi, Linda. Welcome to the program.
Hi there. Hi, Peter.
Hi.
I was at your office yesterday, and
I know that, Linda. Thank you.
Yeah, the same thing today. This is the crisis moment, I think, in history. We have the opportunity either to go the way of violence and to increase violence in the Middle East, or to go the way of diplomacy with the hope that there might actually be a settlement. Iran is outraged at the use of chemical weapons because they've experienced it. They have a new and moderate president who wished a happy Rosh Hashanah yesterday to his Jewish citizens. This is a time to reach out to Iran and try to come to an agreement to settle this, to bring a ceasefire. If we can do that, we can move toward peace.
Well,
if we
Linda,
use force, we just go farther down the road of chaos.
Well, I certainly agree with you on having an all-hands-on-deck approach on the diplomatic front. And there's no way the Syrian civil war is going to be resolved militarily. It has to ultimately be a political resolution. And there is some indication that Iran may be willing to be more cooperative. And in fact, we have one of our ambassadors, Mr. Faltman, who's made a couple of trips to Iran. So everything you're suggesting about diplomacy, I agree with. But we do have another problem, and that is a man named Assad and all of his conduct. I mean, this is unbelievable. When you've got a leader of a country that would literally put poison gas into a suburban community and kill women and children that he represents, that's a problem. And his interest in diplomacy so far is non-existent. But to the, I am totally with you on having diplomacy be really the objective here.
Let's turn to Dorothy in Burlington. Hi, Dorothy. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Hi, Peter. What I would like to see is a follow-up to that. It seems to me that they should go to the UN because Putin has said that if we can show proof that they did it, then he would go along with the UN thing. And maybe China and whoever else would, too. Iran. But so far they said they have proof, right?
Well, they do, and I believe the proof is pretty irrefutable, and that's been so that's out there. And of course, the president does want to go through the UN. Secretary Kerry does want to go through the UN, but in the Security Council, as you know, Russia, one of the five permanent members, China, another, have both obstructed any effort to get the Security Council to act. So we've been blocked there, and that's one of the frustrations that the president has to contend with. I mean, I think the heart of this question is really whether there's an opportunity to take action that would make things better versus worse. And there's a lot of questions indicating there's a lot of questions out there that suggest we don't know and it may make it worse.
Congressman, we've been getting a lot of emails as well. Here's one that says, the gassing of innocent citizens is a brutal, cowardly act. Some response is absolutely needed. Honestly, I am more concerned about U.S. involvement in yet another conflict. No more young Americans in harm's way. No more 10-year-long entanglements in endless wars. We got this from Brian. If the situation in Syria was exactly the same as it is today, but George Bush were president, would you still be considering voting in favor of attacking Syria? And also, this from Cliff, how do we express the moral high ground on the use of chemical weapons on civilian populations, verbally, by action, or by doing nothing? How about that last one?
Tell me that one again. It was, how do we express it?
Cliff said, how do we express the moral high ground on the use of chemical weapons on civilian populations? Do we do that verbally, by action, or by doing nothing?
I think that the real challenge is, what can you do that can be effective that will make things better, not worse? In other words, you see somebody get beaten up on a street corner and you can do something about it, then most Vermonters would act. But if you're paralyzed or you've got a little baby that you've got to take care of, you might not be able to act even though you want to. So in the case of us doing something about the use of gas, poison gas by Assad, the question I have is, what can we do practically? I mean, I think there's a moral argument that we in the world community should try to enforce this norm against the use of poison gas. But the fact that that may provide a rationale to act doesn't necessarily mean that you have the opportunity or the means to take effective action that will make things better versus worse. And in the Middle East and in Syria, you have this military strike. All kinds of things are going to happen after that that are going to be beyond our control. And what we are also seeing is that there's an enormous amount of skepticism in the American public. I'm hearing this from Vermonters. The vast amount of emails and telephone calls that we're getting are opposed to this. And I think if you don't have the American people behind you when you're taking action, I mean, this is something that President Lincoln understood, that really compromises your ability to follow through. But let me talk about the president, because there is a difference, in my view, between President Bush and President Obama. I mean, President Bush got us into war. President Obama has gotten us out of Iraq. He's bringing us home from Afghanistan. And he's acted with enormous restraint the past 2.5 years during the Syrian conflict, when an enormous amount of criticism has been directed at him from folks like Senator McCain, urging him to get involved on the rebel side in the Syrian civil war. And the president, President Obama, has really resisted that. And that restraint, I think, is admirable and shows some strength. Also, the president has agreed, at the request of people like me, to come to Congress for our decision, yes or no, on his proposal of military action. So I do have some confidence that this president has been a war ender, not a war beginner, and that his focus is on the chemical weapon use here, not regime change.
Today in the program, our guest is Congressman Peter Welch. We've been discussing the situation in Syria. Your thoughts? 1-800-639-2211. This is Vermont Edition on VPR. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Our guest today is Congressman Peter Welch. We're discussing the situation in Syria. 1-800-639-2211 is our phone number. Vermont's two U.S. senators will also be casting key votes on the president's plan. Speaking on Here and Now earlier this week, Senator Patrick Leahy said he had some strong reservations about the initial resolution authorizing limited airstrikes.
One of the things that I hope the Congress has learned after the fiasco of Iraq is that these kind of open-ended resolutions means that Congress has no oversight, but also means that there's no control over what might happen. But I think you start off by most people who watched and read the intelligence, and I have over the past several days, that there was nerve gas used, and all indications are it came from the regime. That part is a lesser hurdle for the White House. The next question is, can we and should we be involved? I think that the biggest hurdle the president will have is if it appears that we're going this alone. Was nerve gas used? Was poison gas used? Yes. Is it going to change things if the United States gets involved? And how long and how thoroughly will we be involved? That's going to be the big debate. We're not seen as the most consistent figure over there. And I think that what worries a lot of people, we don't know what the end game is. We don't know what we will accomplish by this, and we don't know whether we just unravel further.
That's Senator Patrick Leahy speaking on this issue earlier this week. Senator Bernie Sanders has also expressed concern about taking military action against Syria.
As somebody who voted against the war in Iraq. I worry very much about, quote-unquote, a limited attack. It is clear to me that you have folks in the Senate, people like Senator McCain and others, who are really into not just punishing Assad, who is a ruthless dictator, who has done terrible, terrible things to his own people, including the use of chemical weapons. But there are folks in the Senate who really want to go much further. What they want is regime change, and they are prepared to spend a heck of a lot of money, and God knows what else in the months and years to come, in order to overthrow Assad. We have gone through two terrible wars in the last dozen years, Afghanistan and Iraq, and I don't believe, based on the calls that I'm getting from Vermonters, that the people of our state or this country really want us to get bogged down in another war with all of the implications of what that would mean.
That's Senator Bernie Sanders speaking about this issue on Wednesday afternoon. Congressman Welch, if Congress votes no on the president's plan, some people think other countries around the world, like North Korea, are going to feel empowered to use chemical weapons in the future because there'll be no consequences to doing that. Is that a legitimate concern?
Well, you know, it is a concern. But the bottom line is that we have to address this question from the perspective of what's the right thing to do for our country and for the enforcement of this norm against chemical weapons. And all of the scenarios that people can lay out about what the implications are of a no or yes vote and how this will affect other countries, those are legitimate things to raise, but the truth is none of us really know. I mean, the Great Britain, of course, their parliament voted against getting involved militarily. I mean, the fact is that I think you've got to call this on the merits as we see them in this case at this time. And the implications we can argue about, but we can deal with them down the road.
Let's go back to our listeners and talk to Rick in South Burlington. Hi, Rick. What's on your mind?
Oh, three quick points. The first is, I think, Peter, this is one of the more difficult decisions that you're going to need to make on our behalf, and I wish you well in that. The second is, I think it's President Obama is to be commended for bringing this to Congress because it broadens the discussion and the debate in a way that allows all of us as citizens to become better informed and to help then in turn inform Peter and others on our behalf. It's a really important decision. Personally, I think it's very important to make a statement to do what we can to uphold international norms. I'm aware of the risks on the other side, and it really comes down to a judgment, Peter, you have to make on our behalf. If the case can be made that a response can happen in a way that is significant enough, but which is not likely to unduly, you know, make it likely we're going to get sucked in and involved, I would support a response personally, and I want you to know that. But there are huge risks, and it will ultimately come down to the facts and the evidence. It won't be perfect. You'll have to make a judgment. And I wish you very well in making that on our behalf.
Well, you stated the situation pretty clearly. Thank you very much.
So, Congressman, let me see if I can sum up what your position is. On the one hand, you feel pretty strongly that the use of chemical weapons is something that is so bad that there needs to be a response from this country against the use of chemical weapons in the future. However, at the same time, you're worried that limited airstrikes could have unintended consequences, and you need to be persuaded that the situation by launching military action is not going to draw this country into a civil war in Syria. Is that a fair summation?
Yeah, that is pretty fair. You know, Vermonters, I think, are really opposed to these adventures in the Middle East, Iraq and Afghanistan, and they're really wary about Syria. But on the other hand, Vermonters have been strong proponents of, for instance, the Landmines Treaty. Jody Williams, a Nobel Prize winner, was from southern Vermont. The ban on chemical weapons we support. So if you actually do support these norms that apply, even in the awful circumstance of war, then at a certain point you'll be called on to enforce them. But the fact that you want to doesn't necessarily mean you can do it in a way that won't cause more harm than good. That's the real dilemma here.
And at this point, when you look at that balance, you're feeling that it seems to you at this point that it's likely that getting involved militarily will cause more harm than good. Is that fair?
Well, that's my apprehension. But this is where I want to go back to the previous caller, because a lot of folks want me to say yes or no what my position is right now. And I really do think it's been a tremendous service by the president to bring this to Congress, not just so that I get a vote, but so that you get a say. I mean, this week we've been reaching out on your program. Other programs, Vermonters are calling. They're getting engaged in the debate. They're asking questions. They're asking questions that are helpful to me because I can ask those questions of the administration when I get down to Washington. So we're in a pause here. The president is not going to launch any military activity. He's going to be making his case. He's going on the air Tuesday night to speak to the American people. And Vermonters are getting engaged in this debate, and there's a tough challenge for all of us. If you think chemical weapon usage is an appalling act, what should we do? But if you think that there's an enormous potential that we could get dragged into a situation that will be harmful to us and cause more loss of life, how does that inhibit what we'd like to do?
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Gene in Moortown. Hi, Gene. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Okay, so I'd like to preface my remarks by saying that I'm not happy with President Obama. I think he has not shown any leadership, extremely weak in almost everything, leading from behind. But having said that, he is our president, and I think it's incumbent upon the congressmen to support our president, because it's not just about Iran, it's not just about the gas, it's about Iran, and not just Syria. And I think it's incumbent upon him to support him and not make us weaker, not make the president look like a total fool throughout the world.
Well, you know, my first obligation, I believe, is to Vermonters that I represent, and obviously that's who I work for. And on a question of war or peace, just because a president asks you to do something, it might be George Bush asking us to go into Iraq. I was not in Congress then, but if he asked me and he was my president, my vote would have been, I'm sorry, no. Barack Obama, I think, has legitimate intentions here. He's saying he wants a limited and proportional strike specifically for the purpose of deterring future use of chemical weapons by Assad. That's a lot different than a regime change. It's a lot different than boots on the ground. It's a lot different than bogus evidence about the stockpiles of biological weapons that didn't exist. So I'm going to give him a hearing. Vermonters are giving a hearing on this. But then at the end of the day, I've got to figure out what's the right thing to do and make a vote based on my moral judgment and my conscience.
Let's talk to Philip in Stockbridge. Hi, Philip. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just have a quick comment. I don't really have an opinion yet, but my wife is Turkish. Her family lives in Turkey. We talk with the Turkish people daily, and we understand that there's a lot of people that think this is still Assad did not do this, that his enemy has created this, and we could be falling into a trap. And I'm just wondering, what real proof do we have? I mean, could this be a big hoax, a big facade that made to get us to strike? It wouldn't be the first time things like that has happened, and Assad's enemies, the world's enemies, are right. Sick enough and cruel right. enough to 1,500 people. They would do that. So I'd like to just hear some more proof on are we acting? Should there be more investigation? Are we acting too fast? Thank you.
I believe that the proof that the Assad regime, used chemical weapons on the outskirts, the suburbs of Damascus, is overwhelming. And you heard earlier Senator Leahy, who's been able to read a lot of the intelligence reports, indicated that that was his opinion as well. And the evidence basically boils down to the fact that these were launched from the Syrian government side into an area, a Damascus suburb that was held by rebels. So that it came from the Syrian side into the rebel side, and that the So that's pretty substantial evidence right there. Also, the evidence that it was nerve gas, I think, was quite overwhelming in terms of the medical condition and also the death and then the traces that were found of chemical agents that were at the site.
Today on the program, our guest is Congressman Peter Welch. We're talking about the vote on the Syrian resolution in Congress next week. What are your thoughts? 1-800-639-2211. This is Vermont Edition on VPR. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. With me today, Congressman Peter Welch. We're discussing the situation in Syria. Your thoughts? 1-800-639-2211. Congressman, Secretary of State John Kerry has referred to this upcoming vote as a Munich moment. And, of course, he was referring to the agreement between Hitler and British Prime Minister Chamberlain, when Chamberlain said the agreement would bring peace in our time in 1938. And, of course, that didn't happen. Is that a fair analogy?
I don't think it is. And Secretary Kerry's walked back from that since he gave it. I mean, there's always a comparison. If you don't act, will it make will that be, quote, appeasement? Will it encourage, in this case, Assad or others to use chemical weapons? And that's a fair question. If we don't act, there'll be unintended consequences associated with that. But on the other hand, the total future of the Western world was at stake with the Nazi march towards war, and I think that the question here has much more to do with what role the U.S. will play in enforcing norms that have been adopted by the world community and what role we should play when the world community, through like the U.N., is not able effectively to act or bring a resolution to support action. This is, I think, not the situation where the survival of our country is specifically at stake.
You mentioned that you'd had several briefings on this topic. I'm wondering, have they been the classified briefings, or will that be taking place when you return to Washington?
That'll be when we return to Washington. But let me address this question of briefings. They're helpful, and it allows me to ask questions. In the classified briefings, I'll be able to ask questions about military operations. But bottom line, you know, common sense judgments that Vermonters can make, assessing what they know and what's in the press— there's a basis for that, to trust that. Also, I think that the administration and all administrations overdo it with this classification. You know, they won't tell us as much in public about some of the not the specifics of a strike and where and when and how, but some of the specific questions that I think go to what the cost will be, how long it'll last, other things that I think the public is entitled to know. So I'll have an opportunity to hear the classified briefings as the representative of Vermont. But in fact, I'd like Vermonters to have access to more of the briefing so that they're as fully informed as they want to be.
So, Congressman, it sounds like you're going to vote no unless the administration can persuade you that taking military action is not going to make the situation worse.
Well, I believe that the proponent of using force, military force, has the burden. And the president has taken that on. And he's now making his case. We'll be back in Washington on Monday, and he's going to be aggressively making his case then. And on Tuesday night, he'll be speaking to the American people. Now, the point the president has made about the heinous nature of chemical weapons and how it's in the advantage of the world community that the norm against the use of those weapons be enforced, I think is a valid point. The question is the practical one. Can we do this in a way that'll make the situation better, not worse?
Let's get a call in from Mark in Northfield. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. You know, I think it's time we took a step back on engaging in these conflicts in the Middle East. It's time for them to settle their own affairs. And why Israel isn't stepping up here or the other countries in the region. Why is it always got to be America? I mean, we've got enough problems in this country right now that are not being addressed. And right here in Vermont specifically, you know, the middle class is no longer the middle class. Middle class people are barely making it. And the list just goes on and on and on. And if we haven't learned anything from our involvement in Iraq and Afghanistan, this is ridiculous. I can't believe they're even wasting airtime on this.
Congressman, what do you think?
Well, I agree with much of that. I mean, the one thing that was not part of that description was the fact that the Assad regime has used chemical poison gas to kill innocent people. And that's in violation of an international convention. So that's what makes this that's an additional factor to be considered that makes it quite a bit different from Iraq and Afghanistan. Also, what the president is proposing is a very limited and proportional strike specifically to address that issue. The $64 question is, can it really be limited and proportional, and can it be effective? And in fact, the history of these attacks that are from what are called standoff weapons, you know, from bombers and from ships and submarines, is that they tend not to be all that effective.
We want to mention that we got an email from Senator Sanders' office that 18,000 people have gone to his website to take a poll about this question by a 10-to-1 margin. The people oppose military strikes on Syria. And then we got an email from one of our listeners that said, will Congressman Welch vote the will of his constituents who overwhelmingly oppose attacking Syria? So how do you balance that if the emails and the calls coming into your office are strongly against taking military action? What kind of impact does that have on your final decision?
It's relevant. It's very relevant, and I actually trust the common sense judgment of Vermonters. I mean, I'm going to be hearing from K Street and Washington types, and they'll have policy credentials and be sophisticated. But in fact, the Main Street wisdom of folks in St. Johnsbury and St. Albans, I take that very seriously. But the job of a representative is to take all of these things into account and then make his or her best judgment. And that's informed by the people he or she represents. But at the end of the day, if you're the elected representative, you've taken an oath to do your best to follow your conscience consistent with the Constitution.
We've got just a little bit of time left, but I'm wondering, is this going to be one of the most difficult votes that you've faced as a member of Congress?
Well, it is difficult. And the difficulty is that there are going to be bad things that happen whether you vote yes, and there's going to be bad things that happen whether you vote no. I mean, if we stay out so we don't take military action and we don't risk the unintended consequences that can be awful and prolonged and expensive, then that's one thing. That's an argument to say no. But on the other hand, if you say no, and in fact it unleashes Assad and the gas is just flying all over the country, and horrible things happen to innocent people, and none of us are going to like that.
Well, this has been an important discussion of a key issue facing Congress and the American people. Congressman Peter Welch, many thanks again for being part of this discussion and giving our listeners an opportunity to speak directly to you about this issue.
Well, thank you, and thank you for all the Vermonters who listened and all who called in.
That is our show for today. Monday on the program, cows. We pay a lot of attention to our dairy cows, the Guernseys, Jerseys, Holsteins, and Brown Swiss, but they're just part of the herd in Vermont. We'll get to know all the breeds being raised in the state for beef production, dairy, and other purposes, and we'll hear about the state's heritage breed. You can send your questions or comments about Vermont's cattle to VermontEdition at vpr.net. Vermont Edition is produced by Patty Daniels, Rick Sengary, and Sage Van Wing. We have production assistance from Tim Johnson. Neil Charnoff directed the show, and our executive producer is John Van Hoosen. I'm Bob Kinzel. Have a great weekend.